The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the crowd, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day. So the Jews grumbled about him, because he said, I am the bread of life that came down from heaven. They said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, Do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Today we continue in our gospel reading with what is known to the church as Jesus' Bread of Life discourse. In this year of Mark's gospel, as we get to the beginning of the second half of the year, we switch over to John for a little bit, and for several weeks in a row we read about Jesus telling the people that he is the bread of life, and he is the bread that gives life. He is the bread that leads to eternal life. And this is a teaching that confounded the people of Israel as Jesus went on and on. Early in his ministry, as Jesus began wandering through the countryside, he was teaching the people of Israel that God's kingdom indeed has come near. And the kingdom being near is the message that Israel had wanted to hear for some time. Between the time of the prophets and the time Jesus began his teaching and his preaching is a period of a little over 400 years. For a period of over 400 years, the prophets remained silent. The people were wondering if God was going to keep his promises, if he was going to send the Messiah. And then Jesus appeared on the scene, saying these familiar things that were written so many years ago. And Jesus' teaching, as we read in the Gospels, Jesus' teaching was like no other. No other prophet, no other rabbi, no other teacher of God's word spoke with the authority that Jesus spoke with. Nobody had ever taught the way Jesus taught. And Jesus also had power like no other. Jesus healed the sick. Jesus restored eyesight to the blind. Jesus cleansed lepers from their disease. Jesus even restored life to those who had died. And a few weeks ago, Jesus one of Jesus' greatest miracles was read, that Jesus fed 5,000 people on the hillside with just a few small loaves of bread and a couple of fish. Since this miracle of the feeding of so many people with so little food, the crowds that followed Jesus, they grew and they grew exponentially. All of a sudden, people were coming from everywhere out to the wilderness to hear Jesus teach. And the more that people came out to hear Jesus preach, the more they expected that he would do something that he did on that hillside by feeding so many people. This is what serves as the backdrop of today's gospel reading. Jesus' discourse concerning the bread of life. The people that followed Jesus into the wilderness, they did so for a bunch of reasons. Some went for his teaching, some went because they were sick. But most of the people who followed Jesus even says, "You have followed me out here because you ate your fill of the loaves. That's why you're here. Because you were fed and you were satisfied. You witnessed this miracle and now you want more. You don't believe the teaching that I say to you. You don't believe that I'm the one who came down from heaven. You simply want bread that will satisfy you. You simply want bread that will sustain you, that will overcome your hunger." The people even said, "Our fathers ate manna in the wilderness. God fed them with manna in the wilderness. Why won't you?" You know, the lessons of the manna in the wilderness teaches us a few central things. First of all, it teaches us that God did have compassion on his people. Those who were hungry and had no food, God fed them. He fed them the bread that would sustain them. Those who needed a little, well, they had enough. Those who needed more, they had all that they could possibly need. Everyone had plenty. Nobody lacked anything. The people ate and they were satisfied. And this went on throughout their journey in the wilderness. It went on for so long, in fact, that after a while, the people of God grew tired of the manna. They grew weary of eating manna. And they grumbled and they complained. God gave them the food that sustains them. The bread that sustains them, God provided in great measure every single day. Yet they grumbled. And the world hasn't changed since then. God continues to provide food that sustains us every single day. He provides that bread that sustains. Enough for everyone. Our world is filled with places that produce so much food that everyone in the world should have plenty to eat. Yet because of sin, because of selfishness, because of greed, because of corruption, all throughout the world, those who have little are lacking, while those who have plenty hoard even more. You know, God calls his church, God calls all kinds of people, all sorts of people. There's agencies all around the world, volunteers who work so hard to end hunger in the world. You've seen the commercials, you've seen the ads, you've heard the pleas to help end hunger across the world. They work so hard. Even the church works so hard at providing food that sustains, food that satisfies hunger. All throughout the world, we have people who called out to the far reaches, bringing bread, bringing water. In Matthew's gospel, we hear Jesus' words, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." And you know what? The workers are few, comparatively speaking. The workers are few, and those few workers, after a while, like the people wandering in the wilderness back in Moses' time, those few workers grow weary. They grow weary. They become frustrated. Is our work making a difference? In the face of weariness, in the face of doubt, even that bread that sustains us, that bread that satisfies us, it doesn't seem to be enough. We need something else. We need the bread that refreshes us. In our first lesson today, we read about the prophet Elijah. Elijah was confronting the prophets of the false god Baal and calling down fire from heaven to prove that the Lord is God. Baal is just a false god. He has no power over the people. He has no power here on earth. Only God Almighty is God. And so those prophets, they rebelled against Elijah. Elijah ended up killing 400 or so prophets, all those prophets of Baal. And Jezebel heard what he had done, and she swore that she would make him like those dead prophets. So he ran for his life. Elijah feared for his life, knowing that he was as good as dead. He ran as far, as fast as he could, till he finally grew so weary that he fell under a broom tree and asked God to take his life now. He was starving. He was thirsty. He was weak. He fell asleep, and the angel of the Lord came to him, tapped him on the shoulder, and said, "Elijah, what are you doing here? Get up and eat." And Elijah looked, and there was bread. Bread that refreshes. In his weakness, in his hunger, in his thirst, God provided that which Elijah needed to refresh his strength, to restore his strength so that he could continue to do the work God set before him. He was refreshed for the journey. You know, as the church gathers for worship, God's word comes to us and becomes this bread that refreshes us. Not only do we have the bread that sustains us, the bread that satisfies our hunger, we have the bread that refreshes us. As we go about doing the work of God in our lives, the work that God sets before us, there's no doubt that sometimes we become weary. Sometimes we wonder, are we making a difference? Sometimes we wonder, is anybody even listening? Yet, on Sunday, we gather for worship. We gather in the fellowship of our church families. We gather with one another and we say prayers together. We pray together. We hear the gospel together. And through our prayers, God comforts us. Through the hearing of the gospel and through preaching, God teaches us. Through our fellowship, God strengthens us. Even our presence here becomes that bread that refreshes. As we gather around word and sacrament, God not only feeds us and sustains us, He refreshes us, He renews our strength so that we can go out into the world and continue to tell the world that yes, indeed, we have a God who is almighty. Yes, indeed, we have a Savior. And that Savior that we have is the bread that saves. The people of Israel, they've been waiting a long time, over 400 years to hear this message that the Messiah is indeed come. God's promise to send a king who would restore the throne of David forever. Yet, Israel's understanding of who or what this Messiah would be was much different. Israel was looking for a king. So long ago as all the foreign lands had their own kings sitting on the throne and ruling over the people, the Israelites, they wanted to be like them. They wanted to have a king that they could see. They wanted to have a king that they could hear. They wanted to have a king that they could acknowledge. There he is. It wasn't good enough for them that God was their king, this invisible God that they could not see, that they only heard through the prophets. They wanted a king here on earth. After 400 years, they were hoping and praying that God would restore this throne again. They had the kings of old, and they were hoping that somebody would take up that throne, that God would send a king to take up that throne and restore the throne, the kingdom of David forever. They wanted a king. They wanted a warrior. They wanted somebody who was going to overthrow the Roman occupying army. They wanted to have their land restored to them. They wanted to have their own government restored to them. They wanted a warrior to come defeat the Romans once and for all. That idea of a Messiah, that idea of what they were looking for, didn't match what God had planned for his people. Today, we know what kind of Messiah God sent. God sent a Messiah, a king, who would rule over not only Israel, he would rule over the heavens and earth. He would rule forever with justice and righteousness. God sent a Messiah who would be near to his people. His name would be Emmanuel, God with us. He would be near his people. He would have compassion upon those who were lowly. He would tend to the needs of the poor. He would heal the sick. He would feed the hungry. And he would welcome all of those who society turns away. This is the kind of king, the kind of Messiah that God would send. But most of all, God would send a Messiah who would be Savior. One whose strength would be made known through humility and weakness. This king, this Messiah that God would send to the world, would do what no other king could do. He would serve God's people with God's righteousness, with God's justice, with God's mercy and compassion. He would remain obedient to God's law. He would keep it perfectly, fulfilling God's law to the last iota. He would give his life for the ransom of the world's sin, so that anyone who that believes in him would have forgiveness of their sins and the promise of eternal life. This God, this Messiah, would come in the form of the man Jesus Christ, who says he is the bread of life. Yet today, even still today, knowing what we know through the Gospels, the world continues to suffer under the same condition that has always separated humanity from God. We continue to suffer from our age-old rebellion we know as sin. The human race, as human beings, we want to live our lives on our terms. We have all fallen into this trap. We want to live our life as we have defined it. The problem that the earth has today is that even though Jesus came into the world to give himself away as bread for the hungry, even though he came to be the bread of life, even though he came to save God's people, Jesus isn't saving people in the way that people want to be saved. Even the church has gone so far out of its way to redefine what is sin and what isn't sin so that it fits the way of life of so many people, so that it fits the way of life of the surrounding culture. The law God gave thousands of years ago is the same law that God holds us to today. God has not changed the law. God has not redefined sin. God continues to expect his people to live according to his law. And the purpose of that law hasn't changed. The law points out our sin. As we hear the law and we measure our lives against the law convicts us. We are found guilty. The law says, yes, this is what you shouldn't do, and look, you did it. The law says, since you did it, here are the consequences. You're guilty, you deserve death. Yet in the giving of this law, the one that points out our need for a Savior, the law can't save us. The law points us to the direction of this Messiah that Jesus would send, the one who is the bread of life. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever eats this bread will never die. And I will raise him up on the last day. eating the flesh of the Son of Man means believing that Jesus has the power to do the things that he says he will do. Jesus has the power to forgive our sins. Eating the bread of life means understanding that through faith in Christ, we are saved by God's grace. Eating the bread of life, this bread that Jesus provides, means sharing this good news with others so that they too can come and eat this bread and believe and understand and be raised on the last day. Jesus gives this bread freely so that his people might live. The will of God is that we would believe in the one who he sent to be bread of life. Certainly we need the bread that sustains us, the bread that satisfies our hunger. Certainly we need the bread that refreshes us, that restores our strength. But more than any other form of bread, we need the bread of life, the bread that endures to eternal life. People of God, our Lord Jesus calls his church to follow him. Our Lord Jesus Christ calls his church to believe that the things that he says are true. And he calls his church to also be bread for the hungry. He gathers us, he equips us, he empowers us to be for others the bread that satisfies, to be for others the bread that sustains life, to share what we have with those who have little, to provide food and water where it's scarce. He also calls us to be the bread that refreshes. He calls us to welcome those into our midst, those people who society turns away, those people who are so difficult to love. He calls us to welcome them into our midst and be food for their weary souls. That food that we provide is the very word of God. And as we do these things, as we do this work and we become weary, we grow tired, Jesus calls us unto himself. And through our gathering for worship, in the hearing of his gospel, and in our fellowship with one another, through confessing our sins and receiving those words of absolution, and coming to his table of grace, Jesus provides the bread of life, the bread that endures, so that we would be raised on the last day. People of God, this is the Bread of Life discourse. This is what our Lord and Savior would have us know and believe, that he is the bread from heaven, that whoever eats of this bread shall never be hungry, whoever drinks of this cup would never be thirsty, that God has given us into his hands, so that on the last day we would be raised up. So I would invite you, eat this bread, drink this cup, and taste and see the goodness of God. Amen.